We're doing the Ein Yaakov, and in the standard editions, this is page 112. It is Chavtes Amid Beis. We'll skip the parentheses, and we'll begin just after the parentheses. Piska. We quoted in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. You guys remember, anytime we have Rabbi Eliezer plainly in the Mishnah, that's a reference to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. So Rabbi Eliezer had said, Ha'oseh tefilato keva. If one makes his prayer with permanence, then it's not a prayer that will find favor above. And the question is, what does he mean that if our prayer has permanence, then it won't find favor above? So the Gemara asks, "My keva, what does it mean permanence?" Amar Rav Yaakov Baridi, Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, Rav Yaakov Baridi quoted Rabbi Yoshaya. Whoever feels like his prayer is a burden, it's permanent. Every day I got to get up for this. Every day I got to come three times a day. When a person feels like this is something that's a permanent weight on him, that he has to fulfill, that's the idea that if you approach prayer with permanence, then it doesn't find favor above. So the first explanation we have is the question of how we feel towards the prayer. Do we feel like it's a burden, or do we feel like it's a privilege? The Kuzari describes the Chassid. the Chaver in the Kuzari describes that the righteous person lives his day in anticipation. When will I get to talk to God again? He recognizes the privilege in it. So if a person takes the other side, where he feels it's a burden, so that's what's meant, that the prayer will not find favor above. And I think every person has to work on this. We all feel at different times in our lives that the prayer is a burden. Sometimes it's the getting up in the morning, and sometimes it's the getting to daven ma'ariv before we go to sleep. The next explanation, v'rabbanan amri, and the rabbis explained, kol she'eino omera b'lashon tachanunim. Whoever doesn't say it in a, he doesn't use a manner or a language that's asking of mercy. And here the Talmud is really teaching us about the tone of voice. The Talmud is teaching us about the volume. The same words can be read and have different meaning. Chazal defined for us which words we say. So the idea here is, well, how do you say it? You know, there was a guy who was illiterate, and he got a letter from his son, and the boy wrote, Dad, could you please send me money? So he goes over to his neighbor and he says, could you read me the letter? So he opens the letter and he reads it and then he says, and Dad, could you please send me money? He reads it and says, what a bum. I'm not sending him money. Holds up the letter, goes back home. He's seething at his son, and a friend comes by to visit. His friend asks him, what are you so upset at? He said, because of the letter my son wrote me. So he says, show me the letter. What did he write? So he starts reading the letter out loud, and then he finishes the letter and he says, and Dad, could you please send me money? So the guy says, that's what he wrote. That's what he wrote. The other guy doesn't know how to read. Of course I'll send him money. Same words. It's just a question of what tone. This is always the case. That's why it's so hard to judge sometimes when there's conflict. Because each side quotes the other side, and the other side says, that's not what I said, or that's not how I said it. And go figure. Chazal told us when we daven, we could say the same words, say them out of anger, say them in a demanding tone of voice, or say them as tachanunim. Sages say, there's a medrash in Vayeschanan. Moshe Rabbeinu has spent his life dedicated to the Jewish people. He's put his life on the line for them. He's forgone wealth for them. He's done everything he could. He forewent family life. He forewent everything on behalf of the Jewish people and the service of Hashem. And when he approached his death, he had a request from God. He said, I want to enter the land of Israel. So you'd think, after everything he did, he'd be able to say, God, look at my history book. Look what I've done. God, I think I deserve to enter the land of Israel. Doesn't say that. says, Va'etchanan, Moshe begged. He begged. He came, asked for a matana. He asked for a gift. Va'etchanan means he requested for chanina. He requested for a gift. Give it to me for free. And the Medrash says, from here we learn, if Moshe, who was the top prophet, on the surface, he had the closest relationship to God. And yet, when he needed something, he felt he has to request it with chanina. Please, Hashem, give me a gift. So then certainly we, when we come to Daven, we have to know that we cannot make demands. Pause, if you want the text, they're up here. So the Medrash says, we learn this from Moshe, that when we come in prayer, we have to use tchina. That's what the Mishnah said. We shouldn't daven keva as though with permanence. We have to daven as though we're begging. This isn't something that I could demand. This isn't something that I have a right to. I'm requesting it. Rabba and Rav Yosef. You guys remember who Rabba and Rav Yosef were, right? Quick review, right? Rabba's name was Rabbi Abba. Rabba is short for Rabbi Abba. Rav Yosef was blind. He was Sagi Nor. Rav Yosef was the one who knew all the Mishnahs by heart. He had a fantastic memory. Rabba was very, very deep. When came time that the previous Rosh Hashiva passed away, they sent to Israel and they asked, who should be Rosh Hashiva? Who should head the academy? Rabba, who's so deep, or Rav Yosef, who has such a fantastic memory and has so many quotes? Sinai, Rav Yosef was called Sinai because he it was as though he had the tradition till Sinai. He had such a good oral tradition. Or Rabba, who could go to such depths. So they sent back from Israel, make Sinai. Sinai or Oker Arim, Rabba, who could uproot mountains with his logic. Who's better? They said Sinai is better. Rav Yosef is better. He should be the head of the academy because sometimes you could work out a tremendous concept using your logic, and then someone comes and gives you a quote and says, yeah, but 15 generations ago they figured out otherwise, and then all your logic goes down the tubes. So at the end of the day, the quotes are more powerful. Whoever has the oral law better, he's the one that should head the academy. But Rav Yosef had a dream, which was interpreted to mean that 2 years after he becomes the head of the academy, he died. So even though they ruled that he should be the head of the academy, he said, no thanks. Let Rabba be the head of the academy for approximately 2 decades. And when Rabba passed away, then he had no choice. He became the head of the academy, and really the dream came true. That time after he became Rosh Hashiva, he passed away. So Rabba and Rav Yosef, they're Amri Tarvayu. They both taught. What does the Mishnah mean when it says if the prayer is said with permanence, it's not found favor up above? Whoever prays the same prayer day in and day out, he's got nothing new to say. He has no new thoughts in his requests. If you pray the same prayer time after time, then God's like, you said that already. Why are you saying that again? We go through a day. The morning is supposed to be at one point, right? It's the beginning of the day. We have hopes. We have thoughts. We hit noon, we've already accomplished half the day, and we have the other half ahead of us. We daven mincha. And then we hit the night, we look back at the day before, and we have hopes for the upcoming day. It's different stages in our life. Hopefully, I'm not at the same place I was in the morning. I've advanced, or unfortunately, maybe the other way. I have things to say thank you for, I have new things to focus on. So the prayer is supposed to look different throughout our lives. Rabbi and Rav Yosef say, if you can't say anything new, you say the exact same prayer in the afternoon as you did in the morning, that's called that your prayer is with permanence. Same thing. It's keva. Then God says it doesn't find favor up above. So we have to think about that. Part of it is preparation. We're approaching a prayer. What do I have to talk about? Usually we walk in 2 minutes late, try to factor, am I going to make it on time with them? And then we quickly start running through the words and hope that we're going to make it out on time, right? Chazal told us we have to take time before we begin the prayer. We have to be there before the time for prayer. Be focused, think. Part of what we're thinking about is, what are we going to talk about? We have the honor of meeting with the King of Kings. So we were given this honor 3 times a day. So we think we forget about what a gift it is. We forget how valuable it is, but in truth, it's a huge gift. There was a period when my wife was expecting our younger boy, so he was. She needed to be watched in the hospital, so she was in the hospital, and I was taking care of two kids, and I had no backup at the time, so I couldn't go to Minyan in the morning because I had to be with the kids. And by the time I got them out, it was pretty late. I couldn't down with a minyan at that time, because by the time I picked them up, it was before mincha, and they wouldn't be quiet in shul. So shachris, I couldn't down with a minyan. Mincha, I couldn't down with a minyan. I was lucky if I could get a neighbor or someone to watch them, so I could get ma'ariv with a minyan, and sometimes I get mincha and ma'ariv. And I remember at the time, I looked at it and I said, I wish I could go down with a minyan. You know, usually you go, because you gotta go. Every morning, you gotta go, you go. You don't think about it, you go. But when you can't go, when you have a period of like a month where you're not going to daven with minyan, and it doesn't look like you're going to go tomorrow either, so then minyan starts looking a little different. And then the whole idea of praying in a place where that's the place of meeting with Hashem, the whole prayer looked different. We have to stop, and that's what this Mishnah is teaching us. Don't make the prayer a permanent thing. This is just what I do every day. I put on my shoes, I put on my shirt, I put on my hat, I go out, I do what I have to do, so I also go to minyan three times a day. No, the tefillah cannot be the same tefillah in the afternoon as it was in the morning. I should have evolved, and I should have new things to talk to God about. And if we do this correctly, then the tefillah becomes a precious thing in our life. So each of these pieces of advice is really correct advice for halacha. Our attitude can't be that the tefillah is like a weight. That was the first opinion. The way we pray, the way we say our words should be tachanunim. We have to speak respectfully, and we're really making requests, we're begging. And the third point we just said is that we're coming in with something new. It's a new point in our life. Yeah.
Who's it preparing for, like, more longer term things that will, you know, take a lot longer than even like a day or a month? You know, even like maybe to pray something that will occur, you know, within the year, you know, but you still want to, like, you're still feeling it and you really want to express it.
It doesn't say that everything has to be new.
Yeah.
It
okay.
says if you prayed the exact same prayer and you didn't say even one thing that was
okay.
new.
Okay.
I think I told you guys the story, but I guess it was a group from last year. I had a friend who told me, he's in America, I'm here. So I spoke to him once. We usually talk twice a year, before Rosh Hashanah and before Pesach. Neither one of us has time to talk otherwise, but we're good friends. So I called him once and asked him how things are doing, and he told me he lost a child. And he said to me, you should know that ever since then, I've made it a practice that every time I pray, when I hit modem, when I give God thanks, I pause and I think about one thing I never said thank you for before. Ever since he lost the child, he said, he realized that there are so many things he never thought to say thank you for. So every prayer, three times a day, when he hits modem, he stops and says, okay, I got to say thank you for something else I haven't yet said thank you for in this lifetime. Amar Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera said, Ana yachilna lechidushe bamilita, umistafina dinma matuidna. He said, I could do what they just said. I could say something new in my prayer. But I'm worried. If I start talking about new things in my prayer, when I finish, I won't remember where I was up to. I'll lose the place. So I don't do that, he said. Now that's why I said that you should have kavanah within the prayer. The prayer encompasses whatever we need. We just have to know how to focus correctly. So within the prayer, there should be new thoughts. Abai Baravin, Rabbi Chanina Baravin, Damli Tovayu, Abai Baravin and Rabbi Chanina Baravin, both of them said, Kol sheno mitpalelim dimdumei chama. When we say that a person whose prayer is set, that means he has a set time, and he doesn't ensure that he prays it at the best possible time. What's the best possible time? Directly with the sunrise and directly before the sunset. So everyone agrees with this concept, but halachically we don't go with this concept. only with sunrise. We don't go with sunset. And the reason is, says the Gemara, the idea behind this is that they taught the Amar of Chia Baraba, Amar of Yochanan, they taught in the name of Rav Yochanan, and we discussed Rav Yochanan many times. Rav Yochanan composed the Jerusalem Talmud. He was an exceptionally handsome man. He was the head of the academy there. He was a huge Talmud Chacham. We discussed many stories about Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan taught mitzvah nitvalelim dimdumei chama. There is a mitzvah to pray with the sun as it's rising and as it's setting. V'amar Rabbi Zeira meyekra. Rabbi Zeira taught, what's the source for this? The verse says yiraucha im shamish v'lifnei rech dor dorim, that the pious ones see you with the sunrise and with just as the sun is coming down, with the moon's rise. So technically, this is true. It says the verse in Tehillim, and those are ideal times for prayer. But laite alave ma'arava, in the west, we're reading the Babylonian Talmud. What's west of Babylon? Israel. In the west, they would curse aman de matzlin dimdumei chama, anyone who would try to pray just before the sunset. My taima, why so? Dilma mitrefa leishaita, because maybe when you're trying to get just before sunset, you'll just miss sunset. Just then, something will happen and you'll end up missing it. Just then, your cell phone will ring, your parents say, we gotta talk to you, or a million and one other things. So that's why in the West they said, no, this isn't a good idea. Sunrise, you wanna make, you can make it. Because if you miss sunrise, you'll get half hour later and you could still pray. If you miss sunset, you miss the time for prayer. So that's why they said, don't do that. And now we're going on to Rabbi Yoshua. We said in the Mishnah, we're at the bottom of page, at the bottom of page 112 in Me'en Yaakov, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Hamalech Minkom Sakana, if someone's walking in a place of danger, Mitpalel Tfilah Ktzara. He says a short prayer. Ve'omer, and he says, Hosha Hashem Et Amcha Sherit Yisrael, please Hashem, save your nation Israel, Bechol Parashat Ha'ibur, whenever they have Parashat Ha'ibur, their needs should be before you. What does Parashat Ha'ibur mean? So, Parsha really means separation. To be Poresh means to separate. We say it's this Parsha, it's this separate section. Okay. We also talk about Parshat Drachim. Parsha really means a place of separation. So, Rabbi Yeshua said, let's say a person is in a place of danger and he can't pray Shmoneh Esrei. He's a soldier and he's in a dangerous spot. He can say a sentence, but he can't say Shmoneh Esrei. So, those of you who will end up in the army, you got to know this. Sometimes you cannot daven Shmoneh Esrei. It's a soup. Yeah, you're in danger. You got to watch out for your life and other people's lives. So, if a person can fit in a sentence, Rabbi Yeshua says, he says, Hashem, save your nation Israel, whenever they separate to Ibur, and we'll define Ibur in a second. Ibur could mean pregnancy. Ibur could mean other things. Ibur could mean like Aveira, sin. Ibur could stem from the word La'avor, to transgress, or to pass over, or we'll see in a second. So we say, please save your nation Israel, even at times where they separate to Ibur, their needs should be before you. So the Talmud questions, "Mai parshat Ibur? What does it mean, parshat Ibur? Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mar Ukva." Rav Chisda quotes in the name of Mar Ukva. Rav Chisda was the same generation as Rabba and Rav Yosef. He was the father-in-law of Rava. He was a Kohen. He had beautiful daughters. His daughter was once sitting on his lap. And Abaye and Rava and I think Rav Nachman. Rava, I think, and Rav Nachman were sitting in front of him, and he said to his daughter, which of the two do you want to marry? So she laughed and said, both. So Rava said, well, I'm second. And that's what happened. She married the first one, and then he died, and then she married Rava. And Rava once had a dream, and he and Abaye had a series of dreams where they'd go to the dream interpreter, and Abaye would pay, and Rava wouldn't pay. And Abaye and Rava were really good friends. They'd always learn together. And they spent their lives very close together. And they ended up having identical dreams. And they'd come to the dream interpreter and quote him their dreams. And Abaye would pay and he'd give him a good interpretation. And Rava would not pay and he'd give him a bad interpretation for the same dream. And every time his interpretation came true. And one of the dreams that Rava had, he interpreted for Rava. that he blew his wife, the daughter of Rav Chisda, and Rava's wife, the daughter of Rav Chisda, died. One day, Rava was with this dream interpreter named Bar Hedya, and the interpreter dropped the book. And Rava bent down to pick up his book and saw that it said there that the dreams are defined based upon what the interpreter says. He has a choice to say for good or for bad. So Rava looks at him and says, You could have made all my dreams for good? You made my life miserable and you could have made it all good? It was all up to how you defined it? So Bar Hedya says, you didn't pay. Rava says, I can forgive you for everything you did to me, my wealth, my this, my that, everything you made me suffer, except the daughter of Rav Chisda. You should die an unnatural death. And Bar Hedya got very scared. The rabbi just cursed him. He tried to run. He came to the king's palace. He was standing outside the king's palace, and the guard told him, the treasurer told him, I had a dream. He told him the dream. Bar Hedya said, pay me, I'll tell you what it means. He said, no, tell me what it means. He said, pay me. He said, no, tell me. So he interpreted it for a bet. He said, means that there are worms in the king's treasury and all his precious material and all his precious stuff is being eaten away. They went in and checked the king's treasury and they found worms. They found his treasury was being eaten away. They brought in the treasurer. They were ready to kill him. Treasurer said, what are you killing me for? I did my job, I'm telling you. I didn't know about it, but he knew all along. He just told me now. So they grabbed Bar Hedya and they attached his 2 feet. They bent 2 trees down and they attached his 2 feet to the 2 trees and they split him alive. That was the end of Bar Hedya. So Rava was married to Rav Chisda's daughter. And Rav Chisda was so pious, the Gemara tells us that so long as Rav Chisda was alive, every day Rava would have man full for him. And one day Rava went to look for the man and there was no man. So Rava said, Rav Chisda died. He knew that day Rav Chisda passed away. He got it in the merits of his father-in-law, Rav Chisda. So now we have a quote from Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mar Ukva. What does it mean, coming back to our Mishnah? The Mishnah said, if one's walking in a place of danger, he prays a short prayer. He says, Hashem, save your nation, the remnants of Israel, even at Parshat Ha'ibu. What is Parshat Ha'ibu? Rav Chisda quotes in the name of Mar Ukva, Afilu b'sha'a shata mitmale alehim evra, even at a time when you fill with anger at them. Evra is anger. So b'chol parshat ha'ibur means even at a time when you're filled with anger at them, ke'isha u'bara, like a pregnant woman. So now he used the word ibur twice, right? Evra, anger, and ibur, like a pregnant woman. Even then, their needs should be before you. The question is, what does that mean? What does that mean? Why does a pregnant woman have anger? So Rashi tells us something that's difficult to understand. And the Eitz Yosef on the bottom right explains Rashi. And he says the following. He says, what happens when a woman is approaching childbirth? So you guys will see, she starts having contractions. And initially the contractions can be 25 minutes apart. And then it could be 18 minutes apart. And then it could be 10 minutes apart. And by then she better get to the hospital. Because then they could hit a point where they're 5 minutes apart and 3 minutes apart and 2 minutes apart. And then they're just back to back. Boom, boom, boom. Her stomach's contracting and she's in pain until finally she feels the need to push. And then she's got to push, which also hurts. Every time she has a contraction, she has to push. And at that point, the contractions can be 20 seconds apart or 10 seconds apart. And she pushes with contractions until finally the baby comes out. Now, these contractions are very painful. The contractions are called chevlei leida in Hebrew. Chevlei leida means the birth pangs, the contractions of birth. And the Eitz Yosef explains that when Chazal described the coming of the Mashiach, Chazal described that it would be chevlei leida. It would be like birth pangs. Meaning, just as the birth pangs get closer and closer together, so too the tzaras, the difficult periods of the Jewish people would reach a point like a woman just before birth, where it's back to back to back to back tzaras, until finally the birth of Mashiach. The Rambam writes, B'zach Hashem, we'll see it in the Yemenite epistle in Igeret Teiman, whenever we get there to review it. The Rambam writes, undoubtedly the suffering we're suffering now is Chavlei Leida, the birth pangs of Mashiach. A half a millennium passed since then. So maybe those were the birth pangs where there were still 20 minutes between the birth pangs. But the question is, where are we today? So we don't ask for tzaras, we thank Hashem. That's why they say we're already by Ikvas of the Mashiach. We'd like to believe that we're holding past the birth pangs. We're already Mashiach's at the doorstep. We hope so. We hope so. We pray it so. So, what does it mean, Parshat Ibu? So, the understanding that he's telling us is, even at a time where you're angry at them, just as a woman when she hits the point in pregnancy, in delivery, where it's back-to-back-to-back pain, even at a time where maybe that's what we're deserving, back-to-back-to-back pain, our needs should be before you. The simple understanding is, even when we go off the path, let's say a guy got into a dangerous situation because he did something wrong. He was where he shouldn't have been. And suddenly it turns dangerous. So then he says, I can't tell Shmona Esri now, but you know what, I got myself into this. So Hashem, please save your nation, the remnants of Israel, how many of us are left? Even B'Parshat Ibu, even when we've gone off, we're not where we should be. Our needs should be before you. Be there to help us out. And that's the second understanding. Rav Chista quotes in the name of Marukva. Even at a time where we transgress the words of Torah, all of their needs should be before you. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a brice, we have a Tanakh quote. That was given validity, that was verified by the Academy of Rav Chia and Rav Oshaya. If someone was walking in a place where there were bands of wild animals or bands of armed robbers, listim, you should know, it appears all over Shas, and I recommend those of you who want to gain most from our learning, if I see you're taking notes, I'll tell you which words you should write down. One of them is listim. Listim are armed robbers. So if someone was walking in a place where there are either bands of wild animals or wild robbers, mitpalet tvilak tzara, he prays a short prayer. Veizei tvilak tzara, what short prayer does he mean? Rabbi Eliezer omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, the prayer he prays is, asei ritzoncha bashamayim mimal, you do your will above, v'ten nachat ruach lireecha mitachat, and on the other hand, give nachas, tranquility, to those who fear you below, v'tov b'enecha asei, and do that which is good in your eyes. Baruch Hashem shomei tefila. So he says, look, asei ritzoncha, your will is up in heaven. The angels, they do exactly what you want. But we're human beings down here, down below. And we know you only want good. So at the same time, recognize that if we're only yireyecha, if we fear you, but we don't live up to exactly what we should do, nonetheless, give us tranquility that we shouldn't get destroyed by these wild animals or these bandits. And we ask you, Hashem, do that which is good. Meaning we're relying on you, and you do what's right. But Hashem, we're relying on you. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Rabbi Yoshua was a contemporary of Rabbi Eliezer. Just like we have stories about Hillel and Shammai, where Hillel was the more patient one and Shammai was the one who was more rigid, so too there are identical stories between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, which Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua were disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was for the small disciple of Hillel. So they're two generations down. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, and whenever we have Rabbi Yoshua plainly in the Mishnah, that's Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, who was a huge rabbi, very impoverished, who was a blacksmith. Rabbi Yoshua ben says, who was also brilliant in verses, when the Christians used to challenge the Jews, he was the one who always used to answer them. He knew the Tanakh very, very well. So Rabbi Yeshua says, Shema Shabbat Amcha Yisrael, hear the cry of your nation Israel, Vaseh Me'ra Bakashatam, and do their request swiftly, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah. Blessed are you Hashem, who hears prayer. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok Omer, he says, what short prayer should a person pray if he is traveling in a dangerous place? He says, Shema Tzakat Amcha Yisrael, Vaseh Me'ra Bakashatam, hear the cry of your nation Israel, do their request swiftly, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah. Acherim say, others say, Acherim Omrim, others say, Tzorchei Amcha Yisrael Merubim, and this is what we say you should say. A person says, your nation's needs are many. V'datam k'tzara, and their concentration, their knowledge is short. Our needs are plenty, and our capacity to express them is short. Yiratzon mifanecha Hashem Elokeinu, may it be your will, Hashem, shetiten lekol echad v'echad kenei parnasato, that you give each one what they need, their parnaso, l'chol gviya v'gviya dei machsora, and every creature should get what it needs, what it's lacking. Baruch Hashem Shomea Tefillah. Blessed are you Hashem who hears prayer. Amar Rav Huna l'cha k'achirim. Rav Huna says, we go like this opinion, like what others said. Amar le'Eliyahu l'Rav Yehuda achva d'Rav Sala chasida. Eliyahu. You guys know who Eliyahu is, right? So there were rabbis who had the merit that Eliyahu would appear to them. Eliyahu, the prophet, did not pass away. He went up alive to heaven and became an angel. So sometimes he appears, and sometimes he appears dressed up. You don't even know it's him. Sometimes dressed up like an Arab. Different times dressed up differently. So sometimes he's dressed up like a person that everyone scoffs, or everyone looks down at. So Eliyahu appeared to Rav Yehuda, the brother of Rav Sala, the pious one, and he gave him the following tips. He said to him, in life, the rule is, Lo tirtach, don't get angry, v'lo tirtach, you won't come to sin. You want to know what leads people to sin? Anger is a great cause for sin. Anger. Now let's stop and ask ourselves, when does a person get angry? Usually he feels it's legitimate. He was wronged, people were unfair to him, unkind to him. At that point he feels like he's right, they're wrong. That's when we get angry. Tells us Eliyahu, you want to remain in the right? Don't get angry. You get angry, you lose it. You just lost. Lo tirtach, don't get angry. Lo techta, and you won't sin. What does the word techta mean? What does the word chet mean? Chet means lacking, missing, to miss the point. Lo tirve, don't get drunk. Lo techta, and then too you won't sin. Another great cause for sin is that people get drunk. And whenever you're about to go on your way, you're going to travel, take permission, take leave of your Creator, and then go. What did he mean by that? We've turned the page. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Chista, Zot Tfilat HaDerech. This is the prayer that's called Tfilat HaDerech, the prayer for when we are traveling. How do you pray Tfilat HaDerech? Rav Chista Omer, and we know who Rav Chista is, he's Rava's father-in-law. Rava got man because of him. We know who Rav Chista is, we just discussed that. Rav Chista says, you know how you pray Tfilat HaDerech, Mu'mad, when you're standing still. Rav Sheshet Amar, Rav Sheshet was another rabbi who was blind, he said, Afilu Malech, even when you're traveling, you could say Tfilat HaDerech. Rav Chista and Rav Sheshet, Avukaz Lubocha, Rav Chista and Rav Sheshet were both traveling along the way. Kama Rav Chista v'kamatzli. Rav Chista paused to say Tfilas HaDerech. They're traveling. He wants to say the prayer for traveling. Amale Rav Sheshet v'shamei. So Rav Sheshet said to his servant, Shamei, in Shas is a servant. My kavid Rav Chista. What's Rav Chista doing now? He recognized something was amok. Something was different. Amale kayumatzli. Said Rav Chista stopped his animal to pray. Amale ukma nami lididi v'atzli. So Rav Sheshet said, okay, so stop our animal too, let us pray. But we just said, Rav Sheshet says you could pray while you're traveling. Says the Gemara, miyot tov al tikri ra. If you could do something better, don't do it less good. Even though I hold that technically I'm allowed to say Tfilas HaDerech while I'm traveling, why not do it in accordance with his opinion as well? So Rav Sheshet stopped and did it his way. And Bezrat Shem next week, we'll finish the chapter, Bezrat Shem.